I wonder what the memoir of one Shane Jones might be one day. I'm sure there's a book in him somewhere. There's certainly a voice. I hope that voice is with us today. Are we all good to go there, Rangi? Hey, Shane, tēnā koe.
Hey, morning, folks.
Thank you for joining us once again on the program. Are the polls reflecting pretty well for New Zealand First? Solid, I guess, for a wide swathe of New Zealanders who are warming to the New Zealand First angles. That would be satisfying for you. I'll just touch on it briefly with you because your rangatira Winston don't like talking about polls, mate.
Well, they're a snapshot. We don't take anything for granted. The fact of the matter is it's 150,000 voters equals about 5%. And we're bobbing around between 11, 12, 13%. But both Winston and I realise there's always a level of, fickleness in politics, and you've got to consistently get out there and justify your very existence. And we've got a suite and range of policies, which I would argue are resonating with a whole bunch of Kiwis.
Yeah, tēnā koe. Today's the anniversary of the death of Sir Upe Nandangata in 1950. Winston would have been alive. And he does refer to him and Paul Māori very regularly in our conversations. What traits of Ngata do you think he carries into his political perspectives?
Well, he's got a certain class, traditional style. No one can deny that. And there's a certain dignity that Ngata showed, in my view, as he sought to bring forth not only a respect for the traditions of scholarship and the traditions of classical political leadership, but he constantly pushed for greater tribal responsibility, whānau responsibility, and Winston no doubt goes back to the days of Sir Pei Jones. He was at one stage the leader of the Māori Council, very senior of the National Party. Yeah, so it's fair to say he's a bridge between that generation and, well, arguably your generation and mine.
Yeah, thanks very much. Modi was just here, he wasn't. Did it matter to you that the Prime Minister of India was here and fetid grandly, fawning, it would seem political fawning from the outside looking in. But anyway, this to do with the FTA, which comes with some caveats, as you have are aware and have commented on. How ho whakaro with this latest visit, Shane? And
I think it was an Auckland phenomenon. I mean, that's where the congregation of the Indian diaspora is largely located. I was in Tauranga yesterday making announcements with the iwi down there and meeting with a variety of businesses down there. No one really spoke about the Indian Free Trade Agreement. No one spoke to me about Modi's visit. Only references to Indian business down there was the corruption in the kiwifruit industry in terms of labour practices. So I think it's more of an event that engaged a lot of the Indian community up in Auckland. It was sort of like an outpouring of nationalistic fervour, actually. But it is what it is. The National Party have really attached their colours to an infusion of Indian immigration. I think they're hoping to get up to 800,000 to 900,000 Indian migrants into New Zealand in a short period of time. And for as long as Winston and I are around in New Zealand, that will never, ever happen.
Those are big numbers you're talking about. They couch it saying that it's for skilled manpower so that there is some fluidity and flexibility that they're able to travel. Most of it seemingly, if you believe the rhetoric coming from the Indian delegation, most of it in the IT sector. You don't agree with that. In fact, your comment about the tsunami of you-know-what did surface even so, 800,000 or 900,000 new migrants, when many of our young people are struggling to get a start, get jobs, is concerning and should be to Māori interests. So what concerns you most? What should our whānau Māori be thinking here, do you think?
Well, a lot of the skill categories, I think, have been poorly applied, and we're finding too many Indian migrants in areas that have traditionally been filled by young Kiwis, and we'll deal with that issue after the election. Michael Jones, who runs a charity that helps people in Strugglers Gully, out in West Auckland and other such places, they've often pointed out to members in our caucus that they're having to pick up the pieces for migrant families unable to survive week to week in Auckland. So, yeah, no, we're due a reset, mate. I mean, it's important that we do attract people who have skill and talent, but we're not going to have the wholesale movement of alien culture, alien mindsets into New Zealand to satisfy the political ambitions of any single political party. That's just not going to happen. And we're going to oppose it vigorously. Watch this space in the 8 weeks before the election.
Tēnā koe. Okay. You mentioned you're in Tauranga. We know that there's been some investment and support for the marina at Opotiki. And now geothermal exploration in the Bay of Plenty through the Regional Infrastructure Fund. Kōrero mai, tell us about the visit yesterday to Tauranga Moana and where these kaupapa sit today. Please, Shane.
Yeah, well, Tauranga Moana is not ordinarily thought of as a place where you would strike geothermal energy, but geothermal energy does exist throughout the Bay of Plenty. It's hobbled by the fact that we don't have quality science, so we're going to sink some bores in and around Tauranga Moana, near Rangi Uru, the business park that was partially funded by PGF and the Quayside. Quayside is a $3 billion fund that exists in the Bay of Plenty under the leadership of the regional council down there. Sadly, that fund is now the subject of an unholy political row, but I'll talk about that later. So we're confident that once the science is uncovered and the economic potential of such wells becomes freely available, then we can take its potential application to a new level. The marina is the final part of the jigsaw down there in Opotiki, and it creates an opportunity once the infrastructure is delivered upon for boaties, for commercial craft, potentially small fishing boats of a commercial nature. And look, it does create a bit of white water from time to time because it's taking a long time to turn around the fortunes of the mussel industry down there after COVID and whatnot. But these are medium to long-term economic initiatives, and I'm not cutting and running. I'm going to continue to support them.
Tēnā koe. Just finally, too, Shane, back up to Marsden Point. And we know, too, there's some heat on in the Strait of Hormuz at the moment. Trump's threatening more tariffs to any traffic going through the Strait. Sudan, at the same time, say, we're not listening to him. So peace, no peace, peace, no peace, deal, no deal. It just seems to be fluctuating as it does impact us at the Bowser, if I can use that old term. Now, the fuel storage facility is set to receive imported diesel as part of an effort to strengthen our fuel resilience. But what do you see as the primary, or who, in fact, do you see as the primary beneficiaries of this investment, Shane? And how will Kiwis measure whether it delivers value for money?
Well, a deeper point is there's 700 million litres worth of storage up at Marsden Point, and we need to bring more and more of it, in my view, into production, i.e., ensure that it's capable of storing more fuel in New Zealand. The 90 million litres, which will be available in the months going ahead, I mean, obviously officials will advise the government and work with different industry sectors how we make it available, but it's to ensure that should the Persian Gulf crisis spin further out of control. At least we've got a buffer here in New Zealand. Now, we do continue to rely upon the fuel importers. They have never once said to us that there is an existential crisis in terms of their inability to deliver fuel to New Zealand. But we thought we would take a step and begin building a buffer beyond what their statutory obligations are to send fuel from the Southeast Asia zone into New Zealand. Is it enough? No, it's not enough. Should there be more? Yes. However, there are some trade-off decisions that have to be made because it all costs putia.
As always, appreciate your thoughts on a Tuesday morning. Thanks, Shane. We'll talk again soon. Go well. Ngā mihi.
Ka kite anō. Bye.
Tēnā koe. Shane Jones with us Tuesday mornings.